Morning. Good morning. Welcome, everyone. I did look at my watch. It says 9:21, so it's time for our hymn sing. And we already have one selection. We'll start with 545, 545, the Church's One Foundation. And can we just do verses 1 and 2? Is that okay, Mary? 1 and 2 of 545. As our next selection, yes. 156, verses 1 and 3. 156. I love to tell the story, verses 1 and 3. I think we have time for one or two more. Does someone have another one? I heard 77. Number 77, How Great Thou Art, and verses 1 and 4 of 77.
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome awe
Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, I see one more hand. Okay. 504. This will be our final one. 504. The old rugged cross. Deb, one in four of 504. Thank you, everyone. We'll now continue with our worship service.
Thank you.
Thank you, Colleen. It's good to have you back. our church is blessed, however, though. We do have wonderful substitutes that play for us and offer their talent and gifts to us when Colleen can't be here. But like I said, it's really nice to have Colleen back with us. Good morning, everyone. And she misses us, yeah. And good morning, everyone, and welcome to the House of Faith, United Methodist Church of Yucaipa. Especially welcome to any visitors or guests that we have today, and hopefully during our sharing time, if you're visiting, you'll be willing to introduce yourself. A few reminders, there's blue cards for prayer requests in the pews, and you can put them in the offering plate on your way out, so that our prayer warriors can pray for them. And of course, we invite everyone to join us across the breezeway in the fellowship hall after the service. The pew pads in the red booklets there at the end of the pews, please make sure you sign in and record your attendance. And sometimes those little individual sheets are kind of hard to see, so try to check that you're using the individual sheets before you start a new one. I think this is a note for me because I know I've started a new one when there's little ones there. And happy birthday to our September birthdays. Mark is on this list. His birthday's Wednesday, so another year younger. And welcome and happy birthday to those of you that are here with us today for your September birthday. I see Kenny. And I'm not sure who else I see out there. I think that's all I see today, Kenny and Mark here. And we have also... Helen is on Zoom. Happy birthday, Helen.
I think she's 104 this year.
Amazing, Helen. We miss you, Helen. We have an adult discussion class also at 11 a.m. with Lee Strobel's The Case for a Creator. And this one's 60 minutes long. Everyone is welcome. And of course, you can bring a snack to help you get through the 60 minutes. And we have Christmas in September. The Samaritan's Purse Christmas shoeboxes are available in the fellowship hall. And it's pretty clear, I was looking at them last week, it's pretty clear. You can select whether you want to buy something for a 2-4, 5-9, 10-14. They have some suggestions and pretty good instructions on how to do that. But if you did take some or if you take some today, they are due back November 3rd. And Parents Night Out is this Friday, September 27th. Still kind of hard to believe that the month of September is almost over. 27th is this Friday. From 6 to 8:30, and there's going to be Adventures on the Open Sea, Building and Sailing a Ship Fort. That sounds fun. And finally, our free Saturday movies, Arthur the King, October 5th at 11 a.m. And of course, this has a dog in it, so it looks like something I would really like. I remember seeing the previews for this one. Sounds like an amazing journey. And that's going to be in Faith Theater 2, October 5th. Are there any other announcements? Okay, then right now we have a word before our call to worship. We have a word from SPRC, and Becky King is going to come up and give us some information from the Staff Parish Relations Committee. For those of you that weren't sure what SPRC was, if you're new to us, the Staff Parish Relation Committee. I think I said that right.
I was going to describe that, in fact, SPRC is the Staff Parish Relations Committee. We try to keep our staff and our pastor happy.
Well, you guys are doing a wonderful job because I'm very happy.
Good, yes. October, in fact, is Pastor Appreciation Month. Even Hallmark knows that. And so we want to recognize and really, really celebrate 10 years of Pastor Phillips being with us.
Yes. Yay.
Yay.
When he came to us in 2015, our church was really struggling. Both membership and finances were in pretty dire shape. And he came with hope and determination and imagination and did things here that we just can hardly imagine. He brought utterly fabulous, wonderful, thought-provoking sermons. He taught a Sunday series on the Jesus, the Messianic Jesus. And it's time for you to reteach that, okay? I think he's taught it twice, and there are several people, I'm sure, who did not have the advantage of being here when he taught that. It was astounding. I would go a third time. The pastoral care, the loving spirit, the wicked sense of humor, and again, the determination. Those are things that we might find in many pastors. But he also brought the willingness to tackle huge jobs, like the theater project. That was the first, I think. And then he did things like solar panels. What was our electricity bill last month? Probably zero. About zero. Amazing, amazing. He really brought us together to dream about what our church could be. And he had a number of vision dinners so that we could say what we were looking for from our church, and then he made it happen. Now, he would say it wasn't him, but if he hadn't been here, I don't know if any of that would have happened. So, on October 13th, Pastor Appreciation Day, October 13th, we will have a luncheon. It's potluck. Please sign up on the sheets that are in Fellowship Hall. Oops, here's my... And there will be a gift/card box available that you can put your special greetings and thanks.
Here's the box. It's kind of big, but it says to Pastor Phillips.
Yeah.
In his infinite wisdom, the Lord surely knew that we needed you. A love of God's word and a heart for his flock. You give of yourself and stand on the rock.
Nice.
So please sign up and be there on October 13th. Thank you.
Thank you, Becky.
Fill that up with popcorns and that'll be good enough.
Thank you, Becky. That was wonderful. All right, and now it's time for our call to worship. And you can see it's on the screen. So please stand as you are able and join in this morning's call to worship. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse. Nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And please join in our first hymn, To God Be the Glory, number 98. Thank you. And before you are seated, please pass the peace of Christ with your neighbor. Peace be with all of you.
We gotta ask Helen if it's 104 or 103. I thought it was 103, but Yeah. Kathy said that she celebrated 103 last year.
That's, yeah, I think that might be right. So we have her hold up her hand. Are you, ask her if she's three
or
four. 100 plus three or four. Thank you, everyone. Please make sure that you continue your fellowship after the service in the fellowship hall. And now Pastor and I have a question for Helen. So Helen, can you hold up so everybody can see on the screen? Are you turning three plus 100 or four? Is it three or four this year, Helen? 103 or 104? Can you hear me, Helen?
With your fingers, let us know.
Show us your fingers, Helen. 103 or 104? We're pretty sure it's 104. We just wanted to get it right.
Yeah. And many more, Helen. Many more.
And before Deb starts, I would ask for prayers for my pickleball friend, Melinda. Her mother isn't doing well, and her husband is in need of a pretty serious surgery to repair, I guess, a tear in the esophagus trachea area. Just sounds like he's been through a very, very bad time in the last month and a half. So please, prayers for Melinda's family. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to start with a couple things. First of all, I have a big joy. We have two brand new computers in the sound booth, thanks to David Moore, and they are fast, and they work really well, and it's awesome. So thank you very much for that generous contribution.
Whoa.
And I have a note of sadness. Pat's sister, Jean Albaniso, that had cancer, passed away comfortably with family and friends last Friday. So please keep Pat and her family in prayer.
Well, I have a praise and a prayer request. My grandson, Ethan, turned 12 yesterday, and so I'm really proud of him. He needs continued prayers. But my sister just learned that, and she's 1 year younger than me, she has pulmonary hypertension, and I don't know if you know that's kind of serious. So her name's Judy.
Thank you.
We have Denise, Dan's daughter, here with us. Welcome, Denise.
Welcome.
Okay. Yes.
Need some minor prayers for my wife and I. We're flying to Seattle Thursday, and this time she's going to make it because I'm going to be with her.
Good for you, Bruce. Trudy?
Just an update on my friend. She's been moved to, that had a stroke. She's been moved to a nursing home and is getting PT, so she's pretty happy with that. And I think she may come out of it pretty good. Her right side leg and her arm were... no feeling in them, but she's getting feeling now and working on it. And the lucky part is nothing above the shoulders. Her head is fine, her neck is fine, her speech is fine. So I'll be going after church to visit with her, but I still keep her in my prayers.
Thank you. I also have prayers of thanks because Paul made it to his high school reunion last week up in Michigan, and he got there safely, even if it was a lot longer with some travel woes, but he's back again safely, so it's good to have him home.
I'm glad to be home. I'm Susan Walmsley, and I had a wonderful trip up through our western states. I didn't get to Montana because I know that other people cover that state extensively, but I did the other western states. Anyway, I went to the wedding of my granddaughter.
Yay!
And so she's the first grandchild to be married. So that was kind of exciting. So it was an opportunity for much family to get together, and I enjoyed it immensely and had just a really wonderful time on my way back home by myself, driving where I wanted to go and seeing what I wanted to see. And it was wonderful, wonderful.
That's some ultimate freedom. And we're going to say happy birthday to Barbara, because Barbara's birthday is tomorrow, and she's not on the list.
All right. Happy birthday,
Barbara.
Why don't we sing happy birthday for her?
Okay.
And then Kenny, right? And then we have Helen.
And Judith.
We have
and Mark.
And
Judith, I think.
Judy.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear my friends. Happy birthday to you.
Thanks, Colleen.
Let me guess. Barbara is turning 26 this year.
Uh-huh. Is there anyone on Zoom that has a prayer request? Please raise your hand and unmute.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Deb, for coordinating that. And thank you all for sharing. And remember, you can also share your prayer needs on the blue prayer cards in the pews. And it's now time for our unison prayer. Please pray with me. Come, my light, and illumine my darkness. Come, my life, and revive me from death. Come, my physician, and heal my wounds. Come, flame of divine love, and burn up the thorns of my sins, kindling my heart with the flame of thy love. Come, my king, sit upon the throne of my heart and reign there, for thou alone art my king and my lord. Amen.
Let us continue to remember the prayer requests and loved ones that God has placed in our life circle. And let's bring our prayers to the Lord in silence at this time. Dear Lord Jesus, we come before your presence, opening our hearts unto you and opening all the areas of our life unto you, so that you can come into our hearts, into our lives through your Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts and lives with your presence. We acknowledge as we come before you our need for healing. For we've been carrying a lot of thorns of our sins from the past. We've been carrying a lot of wounds in our hearts, the wounds that were made by hurts, by painful memories from the past. And Lord, you are our healer. Even though we struggle with our wounds and painful memories of the past, Lord, you can touch those areas and you can make them whole. You can make them disappear, that we may be free from those pains in the past. So, Lord, we present ourselves to you and entrust every wounds, scars from the past into your care, that you may touch them, that you may heal them with the power of your cross, that we may not suffer from them anymore, that we may rejoice in your presence today. So, Lord, our hearts are open unto you, that you may come in through the Holy Spirit and speak to us this morning, empower us this morning, and heal us as we worship you. You have given many in our life circle, and we know where they are in life. We know their need. So, Lord, we lift up our prayers for our loved ones at this time, asking you to reach out unto them and give them your healing as well, the healing they need, healing of heart, healing of body, and healing of wounds from the past. Even though we experience pain in life, O Lord, we acknowledge that you are ultimately in control of everything. So we once more submit ourselves to you and to your will and to your plan. Use us, O Lord, to glorify your name, to fulfill your will in our lives, in the life of this church, in the life of our loved ones, in this community, in this nation, and in the world. So we now join our hearts praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now time for Young at Heart.
Our story today comes from the Good Samaritan and Other Parables, written by Tomi de Paola. When Jesus of Nazareth taught his disciples, he often spoke to them in simple stories called parables. The Lost Silver Piece. Once there was a woman who had 10 silver pieces, and she lost one of them. She lit her lamp, swept out her house, and looked for it in every corner. When she found it, she called all her friends and neighbors and said, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the silver piece that I lost." In the same way, there is joy among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Lost Sheep. There was a man who had 100 sheep. One day, one of the sheep became lost, so the man left the 99 sheep and went off to the wilderness to search for the missing one. When he found it, he carried the lamb home on his shoulders, rejoicing all the way. Then he called his neighbors to his house, saying, "Come and celebrate with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." And in heaven, there will be more joy over one sinner who has repented than 99 righteous people who have no need for repentance. The Prodigal Son. There was a man with 2 sons, and the younger one said to his father, "Father, I would like my share of the property. Will you give it to me?" So the father divided the estate between the 2 sons. Shortly after, the younger son turned his share into cash and went off into a distant land, where he soon spent it all in wild and reckless living. A severe famine came upon the land, and the young man was in desperate need. So he went and attached himself to a local landowner who sent him into the fields to tend pigs. The young men would have gladly eaten the husks that the pigs were eating, as no one gave him anything to eat. But suddenly he came to his senses. My father has hired servants that have more than enough to eat, and here I am starving to death. I will go back home to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your paid servants. So he started for home to his father's house. While he was still a ways off, his father saw him coming and was so happy that he ran to meet him. He threw his arms around his son and kissed him. The young man said, Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father called his servants and said, Quickly, fetch the best robe and put it on my son. Put rings on his fingers and shoes on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, for we will have a feast today. My son was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is now found. And the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the fields, and as he came near the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called to one of his servants and asked what was going on. The servant answered, Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he is safe and sound. There is a celebration. The older brother was angry and refused to go into the party. The father came out and pleaded with the young man to join the celebration. I have slaved for you all these years, the older brother said. I have never disobeyed you, yet you have never even given me a baby goat for a feast with my friends. But my brother comes home after spending all his money on wild and reckless living, and you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But how could we help but celebrate this happy day? For your brother was dead and is now alive. He was lost and now at last is found.
It's hard to imagine the mind-bending, relentless, reckless love of God for every one of us. May we strive to love like that. Amen.
Thank you, Deb. And now it's time for our hymn number 140, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and we'll sing verses 1-3.
For sin and a peace that is hope for tomorrow. Blessings on mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Now it's time for our scripture reading. And today's reading comes from Luke chapter 15. Verses 20 through 32. So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked, what was going on? He replied, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, listen, for all these years, I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. Then the father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So good to see you. It's always wonderful to worship together in this beautiful homey sanctuary. This is a comment that I hear from people who come to visit our church. You know, it's such a beautiful sanctuary, and I, you know, always explain how this sanctuary was built. I mean, as you have felt, there's always special feeling that you get from this sanctuary. Not the size of it, you know, not the, all the things that you see, but there's a certain feeling that you get from here. And that's, to me, the testament of the presence of the Holy Spirit among us and in this church. So praise the Lord for that. And I pray that we will experience once more God's presence as we worship together, either sitting here or via Zoom, because God has always the message is to speak to us, and I hope that the message that God has placed in my heart will speak to your heart, because definitely this is a message for me as well. I was traveling with my daughter just out of town, and I had a little time to share my stories. I often don't have that chance, so I was telling about what happened and all that. And I had a chance to share about one specific part of my life, and that brought me a lot of resentment, right? And you know what she said? Well, Dad, that's hard for you to carry that burden. You gotta let go. You know, I mean, you know, she grew up as a pastor kid. Now she gets to preach to me. And I mean, she's absolutely right. So this is a message that God has prepared for me as well. The chickens in a large hen house began to peck out each other's feathers. As the quarreling escalated, a number died every day. The concerned farmer rushed to a consultant and asked for a solution to the problem. Add a little sugar to the hen's food, he advised. It will keep them sweet and help them to calm down. A week later, the farmer called on the consultant again. The sugar had no effect. My chickens are still dying. What shall I do? Add pear juice to their drinking water, he suggested. That will help them for sure. A week later, the farmer was back once more. My chickens are still quarreling, he told the consultant. Do you have any more advice? I can offer you more and more advice, replied the consultant. The real question is whether you have any more chickens. Quarreling is a common thing when living in the same house. Living together can be a blessing, but it can also create conflicts and fights. Under the same roof, siblings can develop lasting love and support, but getting along can be problematic as they know each other's flaws so well. Jesus' famous story shed light on sibling rivalry to begin with, and a lot more profound truth. The older son's sneer at the return of his prodigal brother and his father's throwing a ravish welcome home party for him exemplifies someone who does not know how to digest the painful past and constantly suffers from it. The older brother serves as a mirror to show us what happens when we relive the pains from our past. Let us see what kind of person the older brother was. He was a perfectionist. He acknowledged it as he spoke to his father. He said, "Look, all those years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders." The older son appeared steadfast, faithful, obedient, responsible, long-enduring, etc., and etc. He lived according to his conscience. He did not see any flaw in himself, possibly. To compare the older son with the prodigal, the older son was surely a saint. The question is, was this perfect saint happy? He was not. He was unhappy with his brother, who led a dissipated life and squandered all the possession, supposedly one-third of his father's wealth. The older brother was not happy with his father either, and accused his father of not being fair to him. We can assume that he was unhappy with his life despite his perfectionist lifestyle. Consequently, he refused to participate in the feast. How about the older brother's symptoms, as we can find from that conversation and an attitude that he showed to his father? Does he show any symptoms of a perfectionist? he does and he did. Because he was so perfect, he became critical of people who are not as perfect as he was. As a perfectionist, he refused to mingle with less perfect people and chose to isolate himself from them and naturally became a loner. He did not know how to celebrate life and be happy. Perfectionists, like the older brother, are very conscientious and hardworking people. They always evaluate themselves and others with a measure of a strict righteousness and tend to find fault in themselves and also others. You know, perfectionists are not perfect. They are only trying to be perfect. So they are not happy about themselves or about others. Ironically, those who the older brother was not happy with were perfectly happy people. Who are those happy folks in Jesus' story? The prodigal son and the father. According to the older brother's criteria, his jerk brother was a disgrace to the family. That brother did not deserve happiness at home. And his father should not have been happy about his return either. If you put their happiness on the scale, the prodigal and the father were extremely happy, while the older brother was extremely unhappy. Do you see a common thread that made the prodigal and the father extremely happy and the older brother extremely unhappy? The common thread is dealing with their painful past. The prodigal reached life's dead end and had only one breakthrough. He had to leave the dissipated life behind and move on to a new phase. As for the father, his son's shameful past was never an issue. Using the very word of the father, his son's past was lost and dead in his memory. However, the younger brother's past mistakes still live vividly in the older brother's mind. The younger brother caused the older brother a lot of pain. So what did the older brother do? He chose to handle the situation by isolating himself from his brother and his father. When he talked to his father, he called his brother, "This son of yours." I mean, why did he call that? "This son of yours." "When this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitute, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." He did not have to call him by that, "this son of yours." Because when he said, "this son of yours," he recognized the prodigal as his brother. But it shows the older brother's intention to disown the prodigal as his brother. Then the older brother refused to see his brother and stay outside the house. Interesting picture here. The prodigal is inside the house celebrating, and the perfectionist son is outside grieving, implying who the true prodigal was in the end. By distancing himself, the older brother sought to release himself from the unpleasant memories and realities. What if the older brother chose to confront the prodigal and had a chance to witness his transformation? the prodigal was no longer the same as older brother used to know. The older brother's anger could have been subsided. There might have been a chance of reconciliation, but not the slightest chance was given when the older brother isolated himself from his younger brother. Isolation is people's common practice to deal with pain, because avoiding the ones who hurt them offers temporary relief. It was what the older brother chose to do. Contrarily, he only extended his pain and relived it over and over. The method of isolation is not only detrimental, but only senseless. Say that we have someone who causes so much pain and decided to distance from that person. As time passes, we don't talk to that person, nor do we know that person's whereabouts. In some cases, that person is already dead. But here we are, still angry about what that person did years ago. That dead person still lives in our hearts, torturing us all over again. That is not the kind of life that God has designed for us. What is the life that God wants us to live? The father urged his older son to come to the feast and celebrate with him and his brother, and said, "I am always with you, and everything I have is yours." God wants us to be happy in his presence and celebrate life, not suffer from the painful past. How can we be free from our painful past? Learn from the Father. Instead of running away and isolating ourselves from those who hurt us, practice forgiveness. Forgiving those who sin against us is hard, but there is no point in suffering from what happened in the past. It is like crying over the spilled milk. Forgiving is difficult to initiate, but can get easier once it is started. In an article in Guidepost, Corrie ten Boom, former prisoner of the concentration camp, told of not being able to forget a wrong that had been done to her in that camp. She had forgiven the person, but she kept rehashing the incident and so couldn't sleep. Finally, Corrie cried out to God for helping in putting the problem to rest. She writes the following. His help came in the form of a kindly Lutheran pastor to whom I confessed my failure after 2 sleepless weeks. Up in the church tower, he said, nodding out the window, is a bell which is rung by pulling on a rope. But you know what? After the sexton lets go of the rope, the bell keeps on swinging, first ding and then dong, slower, slower, until there is a final dong and it stops. I believe the same thing is true of forgiveness. When we forgive, we take our hands up the rope, but if we've been tugging at our grievances for a long time, we mustn't be surprised if the old angry thoughts keep coming for a while. They are just the ding-dongs of the old bell slowing down. And so it proved to be. There were a few more midnight reverberations, a couple of dings when the subject came up in my conversations. But the force, which was my willingness in the matter, had gone out of them. They came less and less often, and at last stopped altogether. And so I discovered another secret of forgiveness. We can trust God not only above our emotion, but also above our thoughts. The end of quote. Forgiveness, to raise the painful memories from our mind, is possible. We just have to practice it. It may be hard, but just do it over and over, and it's like the bells and ding-dongs, and it will eventually stop. If any of us happen to suffer from our own flaws and sins in the past, then learn from the prodigal and take an explicit action of repentance. Jesus, in his story, included the prodigal's key steps of repentance. He came to his senses, recognized his wrongs and his unworthiness, left his shame behind, and returned to the Father. Some may preach a cheap gospel that God loves everybody unconditionally and you do not have to repent your sins. It may sound pleasing to human ears, but it ignores the critical fact that without those explicit steps of repentance, people still suffer from past wrongs even after they accept Christ. So that's not a good gospel message. There gotta be an explicit step of repentance that the prodigal took. We all have painful past, and that's what I have learned out of 40 years of ministry, serving all different kinds of people. We all have painful past. There's no exception. Partly caused by our own flaws, and partly by the harm done to us by others. As was in the case of the older brother, we sometimes suffer from someone's mistake, and our self-righteousness, righteous anger kicks in every time. As in the case of the younger brother, our hearts sometimes are filled with remorse and guilt. Past mistakes made out of immaturity and ignorance still hunt us down. Therefore, there are two prescriptions for our painful past. One, forgiving others as Jesus forgave us. Two, receiving forgiveness from Jesus. Remember the part of the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. That part of the prayer are those two prescriptions to liberate us from our painful past. We're supposed to recite the prayer every day. The Lord's Prayer is designed to be our daily prayer, which means we gotta practice the forgiveness every day by praying that prayer. Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us are those two prescriptions to liberate us from our painful past and take us to the feast that our Heavenly Father prepared for all of us to enjoy. Amen.
It's now time for our offering, and there is an offering plate at the back of the church. Many of you saw it on the way in, I saw. And we also like to thank you for continuing to send your envelopes into the office when you can't be here. And our musical offering this morning is titled Trust His Heart. Work for our good, though sometimes we can't see how they could. Struggles that break our hearts in two sometimes blind us to the truth. Our Father knows what's best for us. His ways are not our own. Dim, and you just can't see him. Remember, you're never alone. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. He sees the master plan. He holds the future in his hands. So don't live as those who have no hope. All our hope is found in him. We see the present clearly, but he sees the first and last. And like a tapestry, he's weaving you and me to someday be just like him. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. He alone is faithful and true. He alone knows what is best for you. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart, trust his heart, trust his heart, trust his heart, trust his heart.
Jesus Christ,
This offering is our humble acknowledgement for your love for us, for what you did in Calvary. And this offering is our symbol of our commitment to carry out your mission and ministry in the world. Receive it and bless it, O Lord, that we may continue to be a blessing to you and to your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please join in our final hymn, number 391.
Jesus, we pray before we leave this sanctuary. If any of us here worshiping this morning suffer from the pain that happened in the past and have difficulty to forget and move on, please, Lord, touch us, touch our hearts, and heal us. That by forgiving, we may invite the healing that comes from you, that we may be free, we may be liberated from anything of the painful past. So we want to be happy, O Lord, in you. We want to celebrate our life in you. So, Lord, touch our hearts and give us the willingness and the power to forgive. And with this message of forgiveness, O Lord, we ask you to send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be afraid.